world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, hang in there with me a second. I've just got something I'm forwarding to my good buddy. Bear with me. And I'm going to put on there. I don't know what I'm going to put on. I put use on that. I don't even know why I did that. Hey, good morning. Morning. Crazy, man. Crazy times in which we live. And I appreciate Dave Graham. It's good to see you here, Dave. I want to hear from you here this morning. In fact, I'm going to play a little clip of something I saw here just recently. I hear that, Lord. Okay, look, I want to start out with a scripture. You know, I don't do that very often. We are in the midst. Have you guys ever in your life been involved in a position where there's such a thing called treason, or treason really has taken place? And I think I've shared with you in one of my coaching experiences. I went in as a new coach, and I inherited the coaching staff that was already there, and unbelievable treason went on underneath my watch, and I didn't know it. I remember at the end of the season, I had a meeting with our superintendent, our athletic director, and they said, "Don't you understand what these guys? Don't you understand what they've done? That they were undermining you?" And I'm telling you, I never saw it. I never saw it. So I was thinking about where we are in America today and the flipping of the tables that the electorate did a week ago, however long that was ago now, 2 weeks ago, flipping of the tables, what's going on in our government, who can you trust, the Jewish influence. Oh, I got some stuff. I'm not going to show you that today, because if I show you what I have today, I'll lose half of you. But there's really some unveiling and revealing that's going on. If we have the eyes to see and the understanding to accept it, if you're willing just to block out. See, the hardest thing to do is to convince somebody they've been betrayed. And now, don't ever forget this, that in order to be betrayed, the person has to be close to you. Well, my neighbor, who I don't even know, he can't betray me. He can't. But Glenn Claremont could. Glenn could. Dave Allison could. Betty Perkins could. Why? Because I know them and I trust them. I trust everything that Dave Allison says and does. I trust him. And one of the things that we don't understand, one of the hardest things for us to understand, is just because somebody's wearing your same uniform don't mean that they're on the same page. That's a tough, tough thing for us to understand. So I want to go. I want to start off here this morning, not with what I just put up, although that is really, really good. We'll use that here in a second, Spencer. If you would, Spencer, pull up for me. I didn't number them this morning, man. I was flying around the camp here today. Pull up Luke 22. Luke 22. Thank you. Because do you think Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him? Do you think he knew it? Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Bear with me here. This is important, okay? And the chief priests and the scribes. Stop a minute. What would be the term today of the chief priests and the scribes? Who would that be today? We look at Jesus as the leader of this movement. So he's the leader. And the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might kill him. Interestingly, why? For they feared the people. You guys see that? You see that? Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. By the way, Judas and Jesus were of the same tribe. Did you know that? They were the same tribe. So when you think about Jesus and the 12 disciples, actually there are 13 people in there. But one of them is a plant. One of them is about to betray him, Judas, of his own tribe. Wow. And so Judas went on his way and communed with the chief priests and captain. He just blended right in with them. He said how he might betray him unto them. So Judas wants to get something out of this relationship with Jesus. And of course, they were glad. Who was? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were glad, and they covenanted with him to give him money. And Judas promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. So I'm going to get away from him. He says, we'll do this in the cover of darkness. And then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us a Passover that we may eat it. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? He said, behold, you're going to enter into the city and you're going to find a man in there with bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him to the house wherever he goes. Okay, cool. Go on. Get on down here because I want to show you something. So they end up having this big supper, Passover. Verse 14. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Somebody help me out here. Anybody good in math? How many people are sitting at this table?
13.
13 people were sitting.
14. 14, I thought you said.
No. With 12 Judas. Disciples and him. The 12 and disciples and him.
Not Judas. Oh. Okay.
And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you that I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took a cup, gave thanks. This is the communion, man. And he took it and he got through. They drank the wine together, all these guys. And he took the bread and break it and gave it. And do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after the cup, the supper, the cup is the New Testament blood. Blah, blah, blah. But behold the hand. Look. Okay, so here it is. So they take the communion and he says, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me at this table. And truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. And the dudes began to inquire among themselves, who is that? Who? And there arose a great strife among them. Which of them should be counted the greatest? So, folks, don't listen. Don't ever miss this, okay? At the end of the day, most people you are going to come in contact with are in it for what they can get out of it.
Boom.
If you don't learn that lesson, you're going to be greatly, greatly, greatly deceived. Everybody, that's not bad. That's a human emotion, a motivation. I'm going to do this because why? I'm going to serve Jesus because I get to be at the table with him and I get to walk around town with him and I get to be one of the in crowd. So most of us are motivated by what we get out of it. It's just human nature, okay? All of us. That's why you have to check, you always check your motives. And there's a great strife arose among them of which of them should be accounted the greatest. They probably started rattling off all the great ministry things they've done. Yeah, well, we fed these guys down there, and yeah, we did this, and yeah, we cast out those devils. Yeah, okay. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Spencer, that'd be a good word to look up here real quick. Bear with me, folks, we're going somewhere. Benefactor. What's a benefactor? Comes from the root word benefit. He who confers a benefit, especially one who makes charitable contributions either for public institution or for private use. A benefactor is someone who gets something out of their sacrifice. You understand? That's the benefactor. And he said, those who exercise lordship over them are called benefactors. So we got all these elected officials in Washington, D.C., they're benefactors. What do they get out of it? Power, authority, finances, chief seats at the table. There are very few guys who are in Washington, D.C. today who are there just out of the goodness of their heart. Very, very few. Somebody give me a thumbs up so you see where we're going here. because what's happening ain't new. This is not new, okay? So Jesus said the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship. They're called benefactors. And then he says to them, but you shall not be like that. You ain't going to be. If you're here to get something out of the gospel, you ain't no use to me. If it's all about what you get. By the way, has that become the gospel in your church, in most church? He says, but you're not going to be like that. For the greatest among you, let him be the younger. And he that's chief, let him be the one that serves. For who's greater, the one that serves or the one that eats? He says, it's not the guy that sits at the meat. He said, no. He said, I'm the greatest one, but I'm here to serve, Jesus says. And you are they which have continued my temptations. And I am poured unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Hang on. So now we get another big shift. All right. Jesus is sitting around with all his Republican honchos. Donald Trump's sitting around the table with all his new guys that he's going to appoint to their positions. And somebody help me out or don't miss this. Why are they supporting Donald Trump? Somebody tell me. Somebody give me the right word, please.
Because they get something out of it.
To benefit themselves.
They're benefactors. They're benefactors. Don't miss this, right? Like right now?
Yep.
Upstairs is Steve Deck. Steve's been here for 3 days doing some repairs for me. I'm going to tell you this. Steve Deck ain't a benefactor. He ain't here out of what he's going to get out of it. Steve is here to serve. It's what we're all supposed to do, right? Is there benefits that he gets? Yeah, my wife cooks for him. He gets good food. I mean, yeah, there's benefits, but he's here working. He worked all day yesterday. I tried to give him, he won't take any money. That dude is a benefactor. That guy's doing it out of the right spirit, okay? So watch this. So he says, you're going to sit with me, the 12 tribes, I'm going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, turns and says, Hey, Peter, you looking at me, Peter? Satan has desired he may have you. He might sift you like wheat. Can you imagine the Lord looking at you saying that? He said, but I prayed for you, that your faith failed not. And when you are converted. Spencer, there's a good word. There's a good word. Converted. Now remember this. Peter is sitting at his table. He's one of the 12. And he's not converted? Converted means to change or turn into another substance or form. To change from one belief to another. To change from one religion to another. To turn from a bad life to a good one. And so there's Jesus with Peter, who's one of the 12. He said, hey, dude, Satan's after you. Why? Because he understood that Peter was there for Peter. Oh, he was serving the Lord, but now he was there for the benefits. He got to go to all the nice banquets. And he got to hang out with Jesus and probably, I don't know. Anyway. But I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not when you are converted. Strengthen your brothers. And Peter's reaction is Peter shocked by this statement? Is Peter convicted by this statement? Because his reaction is pretty crazy, right? He gets mad. He said unto the Lord, are you kidding me? I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. What are you talking about, Willis? And Jesus says, oh yeah, dude, let me tell you, Pete. Before that rooster shall crow on this day, you're going to deny me 3 times. We all need to check our motivation. All of us. Why are you doing what you do? Why am I doing what I do? I was thinking about it the other day. I was on the fast track. I was an unbelievably successful high school football coach when I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union. And that crucible came into my, there's a good word, Spencer, pull that up there. That crucible, C-R-U-C-I, crucible. When that crucible came into my life and I had the opportunity to either deny my Lord, a hollow place at the bottom of a chemical furnace, that's a crucible, a chemical vessel or melting pot made of earth and so tempered and baked as to endure extreme heat without melting. So some extreme heat came into my life and it was melting me. Because I was on the fast track. I had 3 kids. I had a mortgage. My wife was home, stay-at-home mom. Look, I'm not bragging. I'm showing you the crucible, right? Michelle and I got a call from a school up around Cleveland named Brush High School. Brush, B-R-U-S-H. The athletic director at Brush High School called me and wanted me to know if I would come up and be their football coach. This was before I sued by the ACLU and all that. Hang on, stay with me. So Michelle and I went up there and Brush High School. Man, they whined and dined me. And we went out. My wife had calamari. I'd never had calamari in my life. We had calamari. It was a great education, huge raise. I didn't have to teach. I was just going to coach. I didn't have to teach. Which, by the way, that's the way the good schools do it. We went home that night. The next day, I guess it was. It was that night. Michelle and I went for a walk. Just through town, just kind of reminisce. Because I had to let them know. I had to let them know whether I'd take the job or not. And so I'm in the crucible. I'm telling you, I'm in the crucible. What do we do? And we're walking down the street. And we're talking back and forth and about what would be good for our family, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. And the Holy Spirit said something to me I never forgot. Are you listening, folks? The Holy Spirit asked me one. By the way, the Holy Spirit asks questions. He rarely tells you what to do. He asks you questions. And the Holy Spirit said to me, can you be bought? And I stopped. Can you be bought? I said, well, why am I going to go to Brush High School? More money, better education for my kids, on and on and on. Can you be bought? For steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord. Now, you want to go chase that. This is what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. This is the conversation I'm having in my head. If you want to chase that money and you want to chase that education, you want to go for it, dude. Go for it. Because I just want to know right now, how many pieces of silver does it take to buy you? That's all I want to know. And I turned to my wife and I said, we're not leaving. And you know what unfolded in my life afterwards, right? With the battle for the ACLU and yada, yada, yada. See, the Psalm 37:23 tells us the very steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And let me tell you this, they ain't always pleasant. They're not always pleasant. So I give you this warning here. I'm sorry, I didn't mean for this to take too long. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. You need to ask yourself, we all need to ask ourselves this, for the day, I'm just telling you, for the days ahead of us, can you be bought? Or better yet, what's your price? What's your price?
Boom.
And I sit here and I look at my life. I'll be 72 here next week. I look at my life, 72 years old. I've been away from coaching for a long time. And to look back on my life and realize the Lord ordered my steps. Now, I could have been, I'm sorry if I'm talking about me, because this I'm talking about you. Some of you are facing decisions in your life and you're being influenced by the wrong stuff. Can you be bought? Why, look, Peter, Satan has desired that he might have you, that he might sift you like wheat. He said, you're going to go through some crap, Pete. Keep going, dude. Keep going, because I've prayed for you. And Peter, you have to go through this stuff, because at the end of it, you're going to strengthen your brothers. Do you ever look at yourself and what you're going through from that perspective? See, the Lord's not letting you go through tough times because he's not paying attention or he doesn't care about you. He's trying to do something in you. He's trying to change your motivation. Just as he said to Pete, Pete, you're gonna turn me out, dude. You're going to turn on me. He said, nah, no way, man. Because, see, Jesus read the motivation of his heart. So I think it's just important that we all ask ourselves in the times that we're coming ahead of us. I'm just telling you, can you be bought? Can you be bought? I think about Bill Dunphy sitting there in prison. He's going to get out soon, by the way. I just know under the unction of the Lord, he's going to get out of there soon. Whoo-wee, can you imagine how he's going to strengthen his brothers when he gets out? Have any idea? Say, Lord, you love me. Now I'm in jail? Yeah, dude. You ain't the first one. Go Hebrews 11. Spencer, go to Hebrews 11. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord cannot use anybody whom he has not deeply wounded. I'll say it again. The Lord cannot use anybody who has not been deeply wounded.
Wow, coach.
And so you're going to have to, many of you, I'm telling you, listen to me. Many of you feel like Kamala, burdened by what has been. Many of you are carrying a burden you should have long ago thrown off. And if you want to know, is that me? Is that me, coach? Holy Spirit, are you talking to me? Well, ask yourself this very question. How often do you talk about what happened to you in the past? And you're going to find out that you're still in prison to what happened to you in the past. And Jesus said to Peter, I've prayed for you. You are going to be sifted like wheat, but I'm going to pray for you that your faith not fail. And do what? When you get through that mess, go strengthen your brothers. And I'm just telling you with all the concern that I can, there are many of you out there who are driving down the road looking in the rearview mirror. And the automakers had it figured out far before the rest of us, because they gave you a great big windshield and a real tiny rearview mirror. Because it's so much more important where you're going rather than where you've been. And I just sense that some of you out there have had to, can I say it, have had this shit kicked out of you. You ain't the first one, buddy. You ain't the first one. So you take that test and you turn it into a testimony.
Amen.
This is what I overcame. Yeah, that happened to me too, but no more, baby. I'm going onward and upward. And I'm telling you, some of you need to take that shackle off of your foot and quit dragging around that ball and chain of what happened to you 20 years ago. Satan has desired he might have you, that he might sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you, dude. Huh? Huh? Yeah. And when you go through that, then you strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. Let your testimony be a testimony of victory. Don't wallow in that rearview mirror. Yeah, that happened. Look, I'm speaking to tens of thousands of people a day. Does anybody know why? Because I went through that mess. I went through that mess. And I don't focus on that mess. I said, thank you, Lord, that you took me through that to use me the way you're using me today. Thank you, Lord, for what Satan meant for bad, God meant for good. There's nothing that happens to you that the Lord does not permit.
Amen.
And the question becomes, what are you going to do with it, man? What are you going to do with it? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, we're standing here today having American Christianity free so far, free to practice openly our faith. Can I tell you why? For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He offered up his son. But when he offered up his son, it became a more excellent sacrifice, in which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. By faith, Enoch, when he was translated, he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He rewards you if you diligently seek him. God does. He rewards you. And sometimes he takes you through paths that you wish you didn't have to go through. Sometimes it's the devil that does it, but the Lord permits it to happen. Why? Because he's building a testimony in you that will strengthen and encourage others. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What if Noah hadn't done that and all the ridicule and everything he did? Abraham, called on done place where he should after receiving an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. Why? Trust. I'm not going to read down through the Faith Hall of Fame. Yeah, go down to about verse 12, because here you'll find some of all of you right there. These all died in faith, not receiving the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. All right. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm glad I did. And I'm gonna open it up. Hey, folks. You take a step back, you turn into a comeback, man. That's been my whole coaching life. It's been my whole life as a player. You beat. This play ain't going to get me. I'll get you next time. And we have a decision whether or not you're going to use the past hurts as a launching pad, or is it going to be a swamp? Are you going to be forever stuck in that swamp, praising the swamp, rather than say, man, I'm out of that. I swam my way out of that, and you can too. Called that stinking thinking back when I was coaching. Mary Beth, come on in.
So y'all know I lost my son in 95 to asthma. Well, I'm friends with someone on Facebook, and I highly recommend you all go to Hannah Glass, G-L-A-S-S, Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, her mom and dad just lost her, and she's to a peanut allergy. Born again, young lady, and just an excellent thing. And he's been writing and documenting, and he's on TV shows and all this stuff, but just an excellent journey. And so when I go on there and I comment, you know, the Lord just gives me utterance because of what I've been through, and I understand what it feels like to go through that. And, you know, he just provides opportunities for you in your healing process. And it takes a long time for some people, Coach. You know, and sometimes I talk about it because it just, you know, but you understand.
I'm not making light of I'm not making light of anything anybody.
I know you're not.
But folks, Christianity is a song of victory. It's not a song of defeat. And every time you gripe and moan and complain about what happened in the past, you glorify the devil. You don't glorify the Lord unless you're talking about how you've overcome it. We have an overcoming faith. And you can't get trapped in the mire of what happened to you in the past. As bad as it might be, there's victory on the other side of it. You're not the first one to go through it. You can become an encouragement to others. You'll make it. You can do it. I've been there. I know what it's like. You can do it. I remember when I did that. Oh, my God. And then you replay it all in your head. Roger.
I wanted to go back to your, you had said the idea that no one can be used of God who has not gone through. What did you, help me remember what you said.
God cannot use anyone who is not deeply wounded.
And I think scripturally, I just don't know about that, Dave. You know, I would agree that most of the men in the Bible went through some difficult times and God used them. But if we're obedient to his word, you live a life that is honoring to him and obedient to what he is wanting you to do. It doesn't mean that you will be wounded. You might not be deeply wounded because you've been obedient to what he wants you and how you are to live. Does that make any sense?
Sure, it does. And I'm going to tell you, the great champions of the Christian faith have all been deeply wounded.
And I agree. No, I agree with that. I think that's throughout Scripture. But I do believe God protects us.
Sure.
And that if we read his word and work his word and obey his word, that we can be protected from deep wounds and still be used.
Okay, so let me give you this illustration, Roger. When I was coaching guys, I made them run gassers. You guys know what gassers are? Line up, run down, touch the 5-yard line, run back, run and touch the 10, run back, run, touch 15, run back, run, touch the 20, run back, all the way down the field. I'd run those gassers till they thought they were going to die. And I said, listen, you will thank me because I love you and taking you through this. That would be my point.
Yeah. Well, and I think I agree with that. But sometimes that wound is because of our disobedience.
Oh.
And we could avoid that wound. Now, God can still use it for good, and sometimes it takes a while to reflect on it. But, you know, we've talked on the queue over the years about, you know, we don't have to sin. Now, we are a sin creature, but we don't have to just wallow day by day. We can have victory over sin.
Amen.
I think
Amen.
We've taught that in the morning. And that victory over sin, not that we will be sinless, but the victory over certain things many times can lay the foundation where you are not grievously wounded and can still be used of God. That's all I'm saying is the idea that obedience to his word protects us. It can many times prevent that wounding. And then I think my final thought is sometimes the wounding is just life. You've not done anything right or wrong.
Yep.
It's just life. So,
Roger, what would you say?
Amen,
about
Roger.
Matthew 6, when Jesus said, "You're going to be hated of all men."
Well, you're going to be hated for all men because of your belief in him and who he was.
Right.
So that in and of itself could create woundedness. But that's, you know, but God can use that. But no, there's no doubt. I mean, look at the disciples; all 12 of them died martyrs.
Okay, here's the point I'm trying to make. I'm not arguing with Roger.
I understand. I'm just talking.
The great changes in my life have happened from deep wounding. Would anybody disagree with that?
No, I agree. Yeah.
Deep wounding drove me to the Lord.
Yeah.
It strengthened my faith. The message we're teaching in church today is it's all blessing. It's all blessing.
Amen. No difficulty. Amen. God loves you and let's move on.
So, amen.
No, I think agree. We're on the same agree. Page. Oh, no, no, we are.
So listen, let your wounding become a testimony. Quit living there. Quit living. Quit dragging that old dead body around. Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am. Did you know that back in those days that when you were charged with a capital crime, when you murdered somebody, they literally strapped the body around you and you carried it everywhere you went. And it led to your death. So when Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? They understood exactly what he was talking about. And your body of death is your old man. Your old man. Shake him off, dude. People say stuff to me. Oh, coach.
I remember, amen.
Coach, I remember when you did that. Yes, that guy's dead. I don't even know that guy, right? Huh? I'm guilty, but I don't even. That guy died a long time ago. Now, he won't die if you continue to resurrect him. Dave Allison, come on in.
Coach, excellent teaching this morning. Thanks so much. If nobody else, this is for me. You know, what Roger was saying, and you had mentioned, the Ten Commandments are there. They're protective, right? So we don't get the wounded. But, Coach, I can testify, you can never sin, but you'll go through life, and you'll be wounded so deep you won't want to go on living.
That's right.
Because that something has happened that just happened to you, and you didn't perpetrate the thing, but still you're deeply wounded. So that Roger, that's the problem in life. You can be deeply wounded, and it's only God's grace that can pull you out. Only God's grace. So that's why I appreciate that. Until you've been there, and only we can get out with God's grace. Then you appreciate it so much more, so much deeper. When you see what he went through to get us grace, the suffering he went through to get us where we needed to go, and you finally reach down and you find that grace to get you out, you can appreciate it so much more. Mm-hmm. And Dave Grant said something the other morning, I don't know if people caught it. He said, if you don't have the impartation, you're still under the old persuasion. And I think it was something like that. And it's so true. You know, if you don't have the impartation of the Holy Spirit, we tend to go, we're still under the old persuasion of the flesh.
Amen.
And so, Coach, awesome message this morning. Thank you so much for being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Really blessed
Thanks,
me.
Dave. Truly. So listen, I like to say this sometimes I don't say it to people because I understand they are carrying a burden. But I want to tell them that this Christianity, it's a journey of victory, folks. It's a journey of victory. It's an overcoming faith, an overcoming faith. And often I want to say to people, stop bleeding on me. Stop it. I don't want to hear it, how bad your life's been. Because until you stop talking about it, you don't have victory over it, friends. You don't have victory over it. And we've all been through a mess. We could start all day and start talking about the mess you've been through. Everybody's been through a mess. Victory in Jesus, overcoming faith. Here's what I overcame. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. It was hell. That's the old man. Eileen.
Good morning, Coach. Just to take on what Dave said. You know, when you have this great burden, you can go either way. If you don't have Christ, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you will become angry and bitter. And I've studied many of the great actors and athletes that rose to fame and looked at their life, their childhood. It's either abuse, drugs. I'm talking about Madonna and Jewel, who lived in a car. But they don't have restoration and liberty in Jesus Christ. Instead, they're still angry. They're still bitter. And now look how they're influencing, you know, the youth. And with their fame and fortune, instead of using our pain and suffering. And yes, I was deeply wounded. I was sued a number of times as an attorney. I worked so hard, as you know, to get my law license to help people make a difference. And then people couple of cases, they sued me for malpractice, and they never found, I was never, it was never determined that I did anything wrong, but that when you're deeply wounded, it brings you to your knees, and then you either surrender and let God take over and the Holy Spirit. And that's why I think, because of my wounding and I've gone through it and the restoration and liberty in Christ, that I can help others now.
See, look, folks.
Amen, Eileen. Amen.
It's a testimony. And so we've done things in the past. We're ashamed of things in the past. And people sometimes will bring up our past and we don't handle it right. We say, oh, yeah. We should say, oh, yeah. Well, I was lost. That guy's dead. Don't let them drag you back down into what you did before you became saved. That is the testimony. I once was lost. Now I'm found. Oh, yeah, I remember. But that guy's dead. Thank you, Lord. That guy's dead. And it matters, folks. It matters. Nobody wants to be around a moaning, complaining, griping Christian. Sorry, Craig.
I want to talk about verse 17, which says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested. And we should understand this is a good thing. So when I was in the fire department, you know, we had these big aerial trucks, you know, a 100-foot ladder. And every 3 years, we get this guy pulling a pickup truck, and we put the truck out of service. We take the aerial out of the cradle. We turn it 90 degrees, and we extend it 100 feet directly out to the left of the. And what he would do is he put a big weight on it, and he would put it there, and he'd test it, and he'd take his little x-ray machine. He'd see if there are any cracks in the metal, because when you're up 100 feet, you don't want to be out there with a 250-pound fireman with that ladder being to break. And so God will test us, because why? For our resolve. Mm. And the thing is that's a good thing, because the things of the Lord need to be tested in pure and righteousness. Yeah. And so the thing, and I think to Roger's point is what he's saying is, you know, you might not have the worst of things in life that happened to you, but you will be given a crossroads. You went to a crossroads in your story, and you had, am I going to go left and am I going to go right? And when you chose right, guess what? You came against the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yep.
And yep. You were tested. And that's just what we're going to do. You're going to be tested, and that's going to look different for each person. But you will be tested, refined like silver, to get out the dross, so you're a better vessel for the Lord to operate in.
The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it, right? Only the Lord knows it, the wickedness of a man's heart. Jeff, come on in, Jeff, then Betty.
Coach, I won't share my past, but it was, you know, you still have people say stuff from your past. But what I want to share is, real quick, the story of John Freshwater. Look at what that man went through.
Yep.
And there's a school teacher, 21-year school teacher, 2 years away from retirement, 2 kids in high school, 1 in college, and they destroyed him. Spent $1.3 million to destroy that man's life. Mm-hmm. Lost his home, that 60 acres he had with 2 ponds on it. His chickens, apple trees, pear trees, selling Christmas trees, just loving life. And then he ends up, they lost that whole place. He only owed like $20,000, but he had to sell it because of the debt to the attorneys. The government spent $1.3 million to destroy him, an innocent man that thousands of kids loved in that school. He ends up right down the road where he lost his farm, just a little ways down the road, sleeping in a rundown house that somebody let him sleep in that was abandoned. Couldn't you imagine? And now he's doing great. But I remember one night Pastor Bill and him talked. He came to Pastor Bill. He was that 6-year court battle he went through. And he was down and out one night. And Pastor Bill used that scenario, that story in the Bible where I can't remember the guy's name, where he had an injured hip. And he told Freshwater, he said, You're gonna walk with a limp. And that was like Freshwater got it that night. And now look,
yep. Amen.
He's up to Freshwater about walking with a limp. Now he's laying in a prison cell. It's like, my goodness.
Crazy stuff, man. Huh? Crazy stuff. Betty.
Hey, good morning. Great
morning, Betty.
To be alive.
Yes, it is.
Hey, I was going to just say that a lot of us have been through struggles and been born again.
Who hasn't, Betty? Who hasn't, Betty?
Exactly.
It's just different struggles.
And then you have this bitterness of what you went through. You have to let it go. You got to forgive those people. Amen. That is how I have gotten. It took 20 years, but I finally got through it, and I could care less now.
Amen.
And it is my testimony to save other children or other people from doing or getting involved or just making them aware. So you got to learn to forgive them and then forgive yourself.
Betty, that old woman's dead. You're a new creation in Christ, and we need to walk like it. Quit driving down the road looking in the rearview mirror. John Loveland, come on in.
Hallelujah.
Good morning. Thanks, Coach. You said earlier you gave up coaching, but you're still coaching, Coach.
Amen. Does this change team? That's right.
Amen. And we appreciate you. So, Spencer, can you bring up Philippians chapter 1? Let me preface what I want to read there for a minute. I'm going to read out of the NIV. I think it's going to start on 15. God uses broken people for sure. Amen. But if you're not broken and God's going to use you, I believe it's in Matthew 24 or 23. It says, he who falls on a rock will be broken. He whom the rock falls upon will be crushed. Yeah. If you don't allow God to break you, if you're not broken, then I don't think he can use you. Amen. So, and here's what happens. I've seen this over and over. I lived it myself, so I can teach it. I see what happens is God's people, they come in the kingdom, they're broken, they start to get healed, and they want to do something for the kingdom, but what ends up happening is they start using their gifts and their talents to glorify themselves. They use it to validate themselves because of their brokenness.
Yep.
I'm just going to use the gift of teaching. If you look here in verse 15, it says that it is true, some preach out of envy and rivalry, but others out of a good will. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach out of selfish ambition.
There it is.
Not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up some trouble for me while I am in chains.
Amen.
But what does it matter? Here's the key. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether out of false motive or true, Christ is preached.
Yeah.
And this, because of this, I rejoice. So my point is this, Coach. Some people are doing what they're doing out of false motives. Not just that you could be bought, but is your motive? And it's just so subtle. The enemy uses it. I lived it. I didn't realize it until I was strongly admonished. It was like God had to smack me upside the head. I'll tell the story some other time. But are you doing what you're doing to validate yourself because of your brokenness? Are you doing it out of false motive? Or are you doing it out of a pure heart?
Amen.
And we always need to check ourselves.
Motive matters, doesn't it? Motive, that's exactly what Jesus said to Peter, right? Get your motive, dude. Get your motive right here, and it'll all be okay. I got to break you to get your motive right. All right? Brett.
Hey, Coach. You could have, it would have been beautiful. You would have coached so many Ohio State Buckeye legends, and a couple of those guys would have went to that maize and blue, and then you could have been a college coach. But isn't it great? That no, God prepared you to coach up all these servant all-stars in this locker room.
Amen.
Across America. Thanks, Coach.
Brett, I can't think of anything I'd rather do. Can't think of anything I'd rather do than what I'm doing. Let me shift gears here with it because I only got 11 minutes. Pull up real quickly. Folks, this kind of stuff's important too. So bear with me if I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit. Stolen from Cowboy. Pull that up. And I don't know if Cowboy Dave's still in there. I know he was in it earlier. I came across this clip today, Dave. I don't even know if you've seen it. Did you know that Cowboy Dave down there in Swannanoa, did you know he was robbed? Go ahead and play this.
This is Mark Anthony Smith, a licensed doctor in Jacksonville, Florida. He's charged with multiple crimes, including felony larceny and breaking and entering.
It appears that they were all things that are being passed out to families in need. Camping stoves, Mr. Buddy heaters, propane tanks, generators, those were recovered.
Buncombe County Sheriff's deputies recovered more than $12,000 in stolen donations from Hearts Hurt, an Ohio nonprofit on the ground in Swannanoa. Smith is said to have stolen more than $2,000 in personal items belonging to the owner-operator of Hart's Hurt from his tent.
Yeah, he goes by Cowboy Dave. That's what he goes by.
Boom. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
This is Cowboy Dave.
Hear that? Sorry, but that's what I'm here for. Right there, right there.
Standing on the roadside, asking people if they just want to stop and talk. He has 25 years experience in disaster relief.
Thank you.
He calls Smith a ripoff guy.
In came a person who pretended to be a volunteer. They're trusted. He's going to get to those folks on tips. Right there. And he's stealing it. And I think he's helping us unload.
It got even odder as we kind of went into the investigation. There was a video of him being interviewed by a local news media outlet down in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is also Mark Smith, several weeks before his Halloween arrest.
I haven't slept in a bed in 2 weeks. My bed's my truck.
It appears to be the same U-Haul he was using to steal items up here.
And he brought things, new. He's like, I'd like to donate these to help. And then when he left the next morning, he says, I'm going to be going to the mountain people. I need some things to take to him, sleeping bags, tents, and so forth. So I gave him a lot.
And instead of actually taking the load there, he would take it and he would pawn it and make money off of it.
The Missouri pullover he's wearing during his interview.
Disasters like this show you how great America is.
Resting inside the impounded vehicle. Smith is being held on a $60,000 bond in the Buncombe County Detention Center. Cowboy Dave, thankful for the Sheriff's Department's help.
You're going to make it. You're doing good. I'd be real proud to have them looking over my heartbroken community right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. Then his doctor's stealing all this stuff and then making money off of it. Crazy. Hey, look, I want to make you aware of another thing here this morning. Again, I'm shifting gears, but I think it's important. Pull up for me. Which one is it? Third from the bottom, Trucking for Troops. And we're helping this guy. I just turned to you to help. That's really all. Trucking for Troops. I got connected with Scott, and of course, Craig Mickle's connected with him as well. Trucking for Troops. These are some veterans, and they've purchased a camper, and I told them we would help it. So if you want to help Trucking with Troops, wow, Scott, just appreciate a little bit of an offering. He's got a camper. That's one of the things that they do, is they go get campers for people, if you can believe that. Take them down, because those people don't have homes. And you know, the good thing again is what? You just plug people into ministry, man. You give them a chance to serve, men and women, Christian men and women, with the opportunity to serve. So we're trying to raise a little bit of money here to help. I've already committed money to Scott that would help him, but I could use some help from you. Go ahead, Brett.
Hey, Coach, that's one of the things everybody around the world watching this needs to know. You do so many things behind the scenes. It was a simple connection and just passing it on, and you ran with it. Scott called me the other day. He is so thankful of your gift, your precious gift, and those funds. Thank you, Coach.
Amen, baby. Amen. It's all good. It's all good. Yes, come on in, Betty.
Thank you. Also, I got connected, and I met Cowboy Dave. He is so, so awesome at what he's doing down there. But I connected with a guy down there called Cabins for Christ. And I got the
app. Betty, you froze up. You froze up. Craig Mickle,
send
come
him
in.
Chicken feed, dog feed, anything for the animals. And once a week, they take feed is a big thing. So.
Betty, the needs are so great. Look, here's one of the problems we're having down there. The need changes like every day. I mean, just imagine you're living your life and you ain't got anything. You got to feed a dog. You got to feed chickens. That's the situation. They need it. They have a real glut of stuff right now. That's why we're going this direction. But go ahead, Craig. Then Jeff.
Yeah, well, I got to meet Scott last week, and I think we're gonna have a warrior with us, right? And he's well connected, and that was a meeting of Brett, Ohio Brett, right? So it's interesting how these little streams all come together to make a mighty river. And I think he's actually heading down there today with that boy hauler he got. So, but what's cool is Luke, right, from Special Ops, and. He hooked me up with this veterans organization. It's Restoration right there at the base of Asheville. And they had a hotel. They bought this hotel. They was transitional housing for 150 vets for up to 6 months to a year, and they took 50 in off the street a night. Well, guess what? They got wiped out. So I was able to hook up Trucking for Troops and this restoration ministry. He's going to go down there and see that, and we got some plans that we're going to try to get some of the American Legions and different ones involved to help this veterans group that missed, that basically got their headquarters wiped out there, taking care of the homeless vets in Asheville.
Amen. 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 Jeff.
Coach, you talked to Dave Culberson yesterday, the realtor here in Mount Vernon. Yeah. Yep. He loaded up his truck with some stuff he's got. And I've been telling him about Cowboy Dave, and he took a picture of your newsletter and was going to pull up your site and hand that out to people and share about Cowboy Dave. He said, I'm going down this Thursday, because he's been in Swannanoa. And he said, I know right where that pizza shop is and that gas station and that Harley shop. He said, I will make sure I stop and meet Cowboy Dave, and I'll drop him off some of my stuff. So they're going to hook up Thursday. He's going down.
So, okay, Jeff, so how about this? Pastor Clint, I don't even know if he's in here or not. They did basically a yard sale, bake sale down at his church and raised about $1,500 in the neighborhood of that. We're going to take that. We're giving that money to Trucking for Troops. Folks, we try to find people that are doing stuff, and don't muzzle the ox, right? You don't muzzle the ox. But Clint's hands are good in there. Clint, I didn't even see you. Go ahead.
Yeah, Coach, I just want to give a shout out to my daughter, Beth. It was all her. It was her brainstorm, and she did the legwork. She did all the work in it. So the Lord just laid it on her heart to do it. And
amen.
She was so afraid. She said, we're not going to raise anything, and we're not going to, and, you know, Lord provided. So
amen, Clint. Amen.
I appreciate her for doing what she did.
Thank you, Beth, and that's where your money's going. I'm going to send it to Trucking for Troops, and I've made a commitment to help them fund that camper, so that's where that money's going to go. Thanks, amen. Beth. Thanks, Clint. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, I think I found a good verse here that will just tie this up, Coach, and this in what you've said in both segments here. It kind of connects it. It's Luke 7:47. Actually, Jesus, we could read more verses, Coach, but Jesus, he preluded this with to Peter when he said to who's maybe go back, Coach, to verse 40. This is a good picture of what you've said all morning, Coach, I think.
And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he said, go ahead, dude, what? Well, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed $500 and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that the guy he forgave the most. He said, yep, you've judged that one right, Simon. Then he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. You didn't give me any water for my feet. But she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but boy, she sure did. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little.
That's the one, Coach, right there.
Wow.
Fits in, doesn't it?
It fits in. It fits in. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Until we understand, until you understand the depth from which you have been rescued, what you have been pulled out of. Now, I don't know if Cowboy Dave's in here. I mean, he was earlier. I understand he has connection problems down there. You talk to Cowboy Dave, and he's going to tell you his testimony, what he was pulled out of. Because he was pulled out of that mess, his heart's open to pull others out, right? That's what it's about, man. That's what the gospel's about. We've made it about so many things that it isn't really about, right? Man, oh, man, opportunities are before us. Folks, I want you to know this. The left's gone down, but they ain't gone down without a fight, okay? get your heart prepared. Get yourself prepared in whatever way you can, because we're in the midst of a war for sure. Joe Allen, quickly. Hang on, Joe. It's going to have to be on the other side. See you tomorrow. God bless you.